Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yesterday we started the chapter on the virtue of the day of Jumu'ah, the obligation of performing Jumu'ah Salah, performing ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah, applying itr on the day of Jumu'ah, going early for Jumu'ah Salah, and also explaining the time of acceptance of du'as on the day of Jumu'ah, and the encouragement to remember Allah Ta'ala in abundance after Jumu'ah Salah. Generally, you find that this is a time of negligence. People are finished with the Jumu'ah Salah, so they think now that the weekly obligation is over. So now there is a lack of dhikr as far as remembering Allah Ta'ala is concerned. So here we are told that even after Jumu'ah Salah, remember Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So we're doing various ahadith to explain this chapter that we have started. So today's hadith, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من توضأ فأحسن الوضوء ثم أتى الجمعة فاستمع وانصت غفر له ما بينه وبين الجمعة وزيادة ثلاثة أيام ومن مس الحصاء فقد لغى رواه مسلم. هذا أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه narrates رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, one who performs a tarawih wudu and then goes for Jumu'ah, listens to the sermon, listens to the khutbah, and remains silent. This word here, fastama'a, person listens carefully to the khutbah. He's not unattentive. So he's very, very attentive to the khutbah, and the person remains silent, he will have his sins forgiven from then. In other words, from this Jumu'ah until the next Jumu'ah, and 3 days more. So in other words, person is getting the reward, or person is forgiven for 10 days. One Jummah to another Jummah plus another 3 days. So for 10 days this person is getting forgiveness. And one who plays with pebbles has engaged in a futile activity. وَمَنْ مَسَّ الْحَصَىٰ فَقَدْ لَغَىٰ. Person who plays with pebbles has engaged in a futile activity. In those days, they didn't have carpets like how we have carpets. So what they would do, they would read Salah on the sand, and on the sand there would be stones. So when you're sitting on a sand, when you're sitting on a sandy surface, on sand for example, and there's stones there, so the temptation is, the attention goes away to those stones, and you're tempted to start playing with the stones. Nowadays too, you find people, they'll play with their fingers, or sometimes people will play with their phone, other people will be distracted by other things. So here, it's basically the hadith, what he's telling us, is that if a person is distracted, then he's engage in a futile activity. In other words, playing with things. When there's such a big occasion happening, the khutbah of Jummah is being delivered, and here a person is engaged in futile activities. Here this is not, the person not talking, but he's just playing around with the stones around him, things around him. He's just playing around, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying he got engaged in futile activity. Imagine a person that is talking and speaking, and a person is doing something else, listening to his phone or watching the phone, whilst the khutbah is going on. How serious? One more hadith we'll do and we'll give some explanation. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, called, As-salawatul khams, wal-jumu'atu ilal-jumu'ati, wa ramadhanu ila ramadhana, mukaffiratum ma baynahunna, idha jtunibatil kabair, rawahu Muslim. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the 5 daily salahs, the one Jumu'ah until the next Jumu'ah. So the 5 daily salahs, one after the other. The one Jumu'ah until the next Jumu'ah. So one salah after the another, one Jumu'ah until the next Jumu'ah. And one Ramadan until the next Ramadan will expiate whatever is in between them, provided the major sins are avoided. So here it is, a person may ask, a person may think that this first part of the hadith, As-salawatul khams, that one, the 5 times daily salah, is enough. What's the need to mention now one Jumu'ah to the next Jumu'ah? Ulama explain that to explain to us, or to bring to our attention, the greatness of Jumu'ah. Jumu'ah is mentioned. We find that the Jumu'ah salah, Ramadan, and performing noble actions result in the forgiveness of sins, provided that one remains away from major sins. The person is encouraged and he's told and he's informed that how great this day of Jumu'ah is. So therefore we shouldn't look at it as something small. The person, as we explained yesterday, person is careful of Jumu'ah Salah, he takes care of it, he prepares early for it, it's very likely that Allah Ta'ala will also give this person more on the day of Jumu'ah because of the respect that he showed this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. There's one point that I wish to discuss from the previous hadith. It says, مَنْ تَوَضَّعَ فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُضُوءَ ثُمَّ أَتَى الْجُمُعَةِ Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one who performs a thorough wudu, then goes for Jumu'ah, and then the hadith goes on, he listens to the sermon, he remains silent, will have his sins forgiven until the next Jumu'ah, and 3 days more. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one who plays with pebbles has engaged in a futile activity. So this first part of the hadith, that person, one who performs a thorough wudu and then goes for Jumu'ah. So should a person be performing wudu and going for Jumu'ah, or should a person have a bath and then go for Jumu'ah? So in the initial days of Islam, people were hard. In other words, things were very, very tough. It was difficult. They were hard working. They were work. They used to do the work themselves. The clothes also that they had were very, very coarse, very thick clothes. The climate there was very hot. The ceiling of the masjid also was very low. So when everyone would gather, naturally, with so many people gathering, the climate being hot, they had very few clothes also. They were very tight, very constrained as far as living conditions were concerned. So therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned to them and he explained to Sahaba that this ghusl of yours was necessary. So ghusl initially was necessary for them to have to come for Jumu'ah. So it wasn't just such that a person could make wudu and come. But later on, from the various ahadith we learn, later on when things became easier, when now there was more assistance in terms of work, the masjid ceilings also became higher, and now it was easier for them to come to the masjid. So this command of having a ghusl, this command of having a ghusl before Jumu'ah Salah, now was no more compulsory, however it remained emphasized. So up till now you find that the bath before Jumu'ah is an emphasized sunnah. It is a sunnah, but an emphasized sunnah, something that we should try and do. Then all ulama explain that this bath of Jumu'ah Salah, when should it be taken? When is the earliest point it can be taken? In other words, you are having a bath for Jumu'ah, so obviously the latest point will be at the time of Jumu'ah. It can't be after Jumu'ah Salah, because this is a bath for Jumu'ah. So when is the earliest point? Ulama explain is at the time of Subah Sadiq. When Subah Sadiq enters, now this is the first point that a person can have the bath for Jumu'ah. The later he has it, the closer he has it towards the Jumu'ah Salah, the better it is. Because if a person, the ideal is a person reads Jumu'ah Salah with the wudu of that ghusl. In other words, the wudu that he makes in that ghusl, that wudu lasts him right till the Jumu'ah Salah. That is the ideal, that is the best. However, if a person makes his ghusl at Subah Sadiq with the intention that this is my ghusl for Jumu'ah, it is still valid, it is still counted. And if his wudu happens to break thereafter, and he makes a new wudu and then he goes for the Jumu'ah Salah, there is no harm, there is no problem. But the beginning point is this Subah Sadiq, and the ending point is at the time of Jumu'ah. Obviously after Jumu'ah, now this can't be counted as the ghusl for Jumu'ah. So if a person, for argument's sake, has his bath at night, so now this bath won't be counted as the bath for Jumu'ah. So this is something that one masla to learn, is that this is an emphasized sunnah, the person should have a bath. But if a person is working now, he thinks to himself that I'm going to go to work at 7 o'clock in the morning, how can I have a bath for Jumu'ah? It is still counted. However, if his wudu does break, he makes wudu again and he goes for the Jumu'ah Salah. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is great merit. How beautiful it is. Which other religion has got this? People are coming from far and wide. People are having a bath. They're wearing new clothes. They're applying itar. It creates such a nice atmosphere also. Otherwise, you get an atmosphere of all types of people coming to the masjid, not bathing, not applying itar, people working hard, perspiring. So what will it do? It will create a very uncomfortable, unpleasant atmosphere in the masjid. Look at the beauty of Islam. Even the atmosphere that's created in the masjid is an atmosphere of peace, quietness, serenity, good smell. People are encouraged to bath, come with clean clothes. Everyone in the masjid feels comfortable. This is the beauty and the teaching of Islam. Even at a time when people hardly had clothes, people hardly had any type of monetary advantage to themselves, but still they were told that you need to bath. In fact, at that time it was compulsory to bath and come for Jumu'ah Salah. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of appreciating the Mubarak Deen we got, the beauty in Islam, and the beautiful teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.